We're on C about suffering, and we were under the topic of Paul. We were discussing Paul and the Apostle Paul. Everybody with me now? 17 or 19, depends on which page you got, right? Sooner or later, we'll get it all. I don't know what happened with that numbering, but my 19. Okay. So it says the cause, the prevention of pride. I think I mentioned that a little bit, is that when I read the context of that, I don't know whether it was his pride or the people's pride or maybe a combination of both, that he was given an affliction of the flesh. And so how many of you have an affliction of the flesh so that you won't be lifted up too much? They call that husbands and wives, right? That's what Tana, I'm her burden, right? So I'm her affliction in the flesh, right? And plague, man. Like one of the biggies, one of the 10. But anyways, so it was prevention of pride. Satan's attack is turned against the primary thing he promotes, which is what? Pride, right? Have you ever read anything when we talk about Satan? He always talks in the first person, right? So he's the main narcissistic God, right? And the promotion of power, increased dependence on God was when he was suffering. So with Paul, when he was weak, then was he strong, right? Isn't that what our text read? Because he wasn't relying on the flesh, he was relying on God, and so he was powerful. My encouragement to you is you don't have to go down that route and have God affliction in the flesh. Just trust him to begin with, right? And it'll be okay. And we want to see God's power in our life and the dependence upon him. And then in 2 Corinthians 12:10, Tana, when you get there, could you read that, please?
Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Okay. Well, that I mentioned this in many of the commentators that if you read the more modern commentators, when they read, they say that they'll say about the same thing. I don't know if I can say I take pleasure in that. I haven't matured to that point. And I'd like to be able to say that, though, that like Paul, when he was, because, I mean, the guy's already been shipwrecked and beaten 3 times and left for dead and everything like this. And, you know, these are the statements that he makes. And so the spiritual strength that he had was tremendous and really a witness to us all. So he took pleasure in infirmities. That's the blank there. And persecutions are productive for you. They are productive. The problem of suffering is one that everyone must deal with. There are many reasons for suffering not considered here. We often suffer as the consequences of our sinful actions. Suffering and sickness are natural consequences of God's curse on sin. What we have considered in this lesson are the constructive causes for suffering as seen in Scripture. And even the consequences of our own sin are dealt so that we would learn, right? That we would learn and not repeat it, right? That thing. How many of you ever had a problem that you caused and you keep on causing it over and over again? Don't raise your hand. That's okay. But really, the consequences of that are for you to learn. And so when we see a person that is suffering their own consequences, it is the habit of many to try to lessen those consequences. And then the person doesn't learn the lesson that he should learn. Okay. And so you have to really consider when you're dealing parents with your children, right? And there's laws of sowing and reaping. Now, I'm not saying to let them, you know, die or anything like that, you know, or really harm themselves. But certain consequences of their action, they should learn that it hurts. And that there's a preventive. It prevents you from doing it again. And so you'll have to balance that, including in your own life. Well, let's go ahead, Rachel, if you would read 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13.
Strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Amen. Amen. So, no pain, no balm, no thorns, no throne, no gall, no glory, no cross, no crown. And so when you do suffer for Lord's sake, God will bless you. And I really believe that he will, and you'll mature in the Lord. And we all need to do that, don't we? Okay, so now we're going to get into the next lesson, which would be whatever page you got. And I think it's, are you on page 20? Okay, so we just skipped and got into my lesson. It's obvious that I have in my files, there's two sets of worksheets, right? And one is numbered page one way and the other is paged another, but so we're gonna start on page 20, and it's knowing God's will. And I'm hoping that this will be a blessing to you, because most people think that they don't, like it says in our introduction here, that God's will is somehow clouded in this mystery, right? It's this grand mystery that we're all seeking after, and it's hard to find. And I believe just the opposite. I believe the Lord's will, especially his general will, and including his special will, that you can know these things, and you can know it because you know the scripture. So let's go to Judges 6, and Judges 6, and we're going to read verses 36 through 40. And Ron, if you would take two, and then Angela get the other two. Judges 6, and then 36 through 40.
And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said.
And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with thee, please. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground.
Okay. The will of God is a matter that most people consider to be clouded with such mystery that is truly, no, it is rare, if not impossible. For some, the will of God is determined by means of signs. For others, it is by chance practices, as pointing to a spot on the map while blindfolded. I don't go down that road, okay? You won't like the results. Many books have been written about the will of God. There are often only an account of how someone else knew God's will for their own life. To attempt to apply what was personally used of God in another's life is very unwise. It would seem that God, who has such precision and order in his creation and such clarity and minute detail in his written revelation, would be capable of communicating clearly his will to his children. Such is the case as we consider knowing God's will. And so when we get into this, we're going to follow the general will of God, the surrendered will of God, and then the special will of God, okay? Because they're in different sections, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. And even with Gideon, of course, I think if you didn't while we were reading that, there was a phrase that was repeated, and he said, Lord, if you'll save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And he said that, I think, twice, if not three times, in that those few verses. And so we know that even in Gideon's reluctance to follow the word of God, yet the Lord still blessed him. You know, even though he wanted to have a sign here and a sign there, right? It would be good on the general will of God, though. I believe that you can take the scripture for the truth because he has said it, and then you can run with it. Now, how many of you struggle knowing the Lord's will for your life? You can raise up your hand. It's not like it's uncommon, right? No, it is. People struggle about that. And I think I don't know whether it's us that puts that doubt or if it's adversary that does that. Because when you're in that situation, you're in doubt and in fear sometimes. You're, you know, questioning everything. Oh, should I do this? Should I go in that direction? Rather than having a direction for the Lord. And so it creates an insecurity, I think, in your Christian walk, not understanding the will of God. And so if you get this down, listen, this isn't the exhaustive study of it, but it's really a good practical study, and I think the Lord will bless you in it. So let's talk about the general will of God, and we'll see if you come up with the right answers. Most of you, as far as I know, or all of you, as far as I know, you're in the will of God right now. Okay, there isn't something mysterious out there. I don't think that you're fighting God. I don't think you are. You know, you might be, but, you know, you're not questioning. You're not asking me to shear. Do you have any skins of deer left over so I can throw it out? You know, any of these other things that are there, you're not, you know, you're not questioning where God would have you in these things. Maybe you should. I don't know. But you need to know that many of you are in the will of God right now, that there isn't something that you have to question. And so, in 2 Peter, we'll go right down the line here. We'll just take these verses and go, okay? And we'll go from here. Carolyn, why don't you get 2 Peter 3:9?
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that he should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Okay, that's right. That's right. So what would you put under there? What is one of the first will of God?
That all would be saved.
Yeah, salvation, right? Yeah. So how many of you are saved? All right. Well, if you're saved right now, then you got step one pretty well down, right? Yeah, you're in the will of God. It is the first step that all would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Matthew 28, which you already know this verse. When you get there, you'll recognize it. Matthew 28:18-20.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. So we are talking under the heading of general will of God. So what's the next one? You get saved and then you get what?
Baptized.
You get baptized. It's the answer of a good conscience towards God. And so you get baptized or baptism. And then in Acts 2:41, that's our next verse. Joel, if you'll, we'll start back there.
Acts 2:44-45?
2:41.
2:41?
Mm-hmm.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Okay, so you're saved, you're baptized, and then what happens? You're added unto them, which is the local New Testament church. That was the first church of Jerusalem, right? And they were become members. They were in membership. So how about that? That's pretty good, right? That was pretty good. And then he's got down here, number four, is Acts 2:44 through 2:44 through 45.
sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had needed.
Okay. And so one of the things that is number four is giving. Giving, we use the time, talent, and tithe thing, but if you got any more T's, you can add them to there. But you give as need. So there's salvation, baptism, church membership, and giving. So see how in the general will of God that you're already there? And then here's a general one. I would have maybe put this a little bit here or there in order. I don't think that these are meant to be in, we can swap some of these around once we get to salvation, baptism, and church membership. But the 1 Peter 2:2.
For the newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow.
Thereby. That's right. Okay. And so if Bible knowledge, study your scripture. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Without Bible knowledge, without the interaction between the written word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, you are not going to grow in your Christian walk. You may grow according to your plan, but you won't be growing according to God's plan. God uses the word, and it convinces us and convicts us. It strengthens us. It does many, many things. It's a light unto our path, isn't it? And so here's that. So really, you got a lot going for the general will of God. But you'll be surprised at how many people, they won't make it this far in the general will of God. And if you're not doing the general will of God, then the other portions, you know, are not going to be there for you. You got to get the general will of God down and get it settled. Because he that is faithful in little is faithful in what? Much. Yeah. He gives us our baby steps to begin with, our tasks that he would have us to do. Just say, oh Lord, you know, it isn't a question when, you know, like it says, well, should I get baptized? No, if you're a believer, it says to get baptized, doesn't it? You know, that is the commission. It is the thing. And all of these things are so general. And yet people struggle even at this level. We're getting at a level here right now that a lot of people struggle. Because especially when it comes to Bible knowledge, they really don't study the scripture or they don't read the scripture, they're out of it. And yet it's communication to us. And so I would encourage you, if you don't make it dull. Bible study is not dull. It really isn't. If you really want to get into it, get into areas, study it out, read through it, and it'll be a blessing unto you. So how about this one? 2 Corinthians 6:14.
And what comfort hath Christ with
Belial, right.
And what part hath he believed with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and go, and touch not unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Amen. Amen. So separation is right down there. Now we're already getting into the general will of God, right? You notice how we've been going here. And people don't understand. That's pretty plain scripture in Corinth, wasn't it? Because it, you know, when people say, well, I don't believe this or I don't believe that, when there's something as plain as that. In the Corinthian church, there was, of course, it was Hellenized. In other words, it was a Greek culture. There was a lot going on there. There's a lot of paganism. Corinth at this time was a bustling seaport. If you go to Corinth now, it's dry land, but the water level was there. They had already built a way to transport vessels across Corinth, the say that word from isthmus. That's a hard one for me. I can't get the TH in there. Anyways, and they would transport vessels through there. It was a town where all the nations that did the Mediterranean trade routes would come to. So, of course, it was like a wide open, we'll call it a wide open town. It was lawless. It was lewd. It was Vancouver. No, it was... We always tease about Spokane. We call it Sodom, right? But anyways, it was just a wide open town. And matter of fact, if you were really like had no morals at all, the slang would be like, you know, you're a Corinthian or Corinthianized. The whole world knew how much, you know, debauchery there was there. Of course, there was the women that were the prostitutes in the temple and different things like that, and they were very recognizable. They would shave their hair. But all the rest of it is to understand that Christians were amongst these, and the admonition is that they have to separate themselves from that. Now, I didn't say separate yourself into a commune that you don't witness to the people. You still need to be a witness to a lost and dying world. It's just that this is talking about that friendship, that interpersonal relationship that will harm you in your Christian walk. A lot of Christians think it will not harm them, but it does because the scripture says so. And that's why I believe it. And so, you know, your separation, how you're going to do that, what you're going to do, and the influence that people are going to have on you. In our culture, it's the same way. We're not that far removed from Corinth. And throughout it isn't like Corinth was the most wicked town. It might have been, though. But through all the generations, there has been this kind of influence. It isn't like, you know, the first century church had it real easy. You know, the people, they almost make the first century church like it had no problems or anything. And that's just not true. They had legalism, they had licentiousness, they had all the problems that we face today. But separation is an important one. And you have to be aware of it because all of us are influenced by this. Now, how many of you got saved when you were like about five or six years old and followed the Lord since that time? Right? Not very many, basically, right? Most of us, we got saved either later or through, you know. And we've been seeing what we don't, and myself too, we've been influenced by that. And it affects our thinking. And we have to understand that. And even what we tolerate and not tolerate has been affected or infected, one or the other, by our background. And you have to understand that what you might think is tolerable really in God's eyes is not. So you have to back away. You have to take what the Lord's standard is and try to get that in your mind because, well, I try to tell people I was programmed by the world, right? And what was right and wrong, my morality, what this was that, was by a world standard. And so after I got saved, I had to change that thinking and get it in line with the scripture. And get that type of thinking, and it's a process that's still going on today. So we've been separation. How about Mark 16:15? We all know that one.
And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Okay. So we're supposed to be a witness, right? Verbally, and we're supposed to be, our life is supposed to be a witness, and we need to speak the truth and tell people about the things of the Lord. And that's why we pray for revival, that God would bring revival. And then in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Okay. And, you know, we could add in this just... I added 9 and 10 here myself, but ministry. But if we take the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 through the end of 14, or in Romans chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit, you're supposed to be empowered by God. You are gifted by God through the Holy Spirit of God. And then you're supposed to not use it. No, you're supposed to come into the assembly and use that giftedness, that empowering of God for the edification of the local New Testament church. And so all of you have power from the Holy Spirit, every one of us here. He had given gifts unto men, and severally is what the scripture says. So a lot of people always focus on one. I can tell you, you at least have one empowerment, but really it said severally. You may have several areas that you're empowered by God for the edification of the local New Testament church. So you're supposed to minister that back to people. So I'm not talking about talents. Talents are what you brought in, okay, to your salvation. That's a talent. A talent is if you could sing before you got saved, you can sing for the Lord after you get saved, right? You got it. Now, we would call it a gift if you were very off key before you got saved, and then after you got saved, you could sing like a bird, right? But most of us, that doesn't happen. We can't sing now. And so you just need to understand it's a gift that you gained at and for the local New Testament church for the edification of the church. I wrote down here 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's go there because I didn't put the verse. That's interesting. Must be 4:1, huh? How about we'll try that one. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. I put down sanctification. That's your lifestyle. You're set apart. That you would abound more and more. In other words, your sanctification, your usefulness to God would be increasing more and more. And then I wrote down 1 Thessalonians 5:18 for number 10. 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I said one of the will of God is the giving of thanks. So that's all in the general will of God. You could study it out. You could probably put another 100 here for all I know. But these are just generally 10 that we know of that are general, that it is the general will of God for your life. And so when you get these and you're obedient to these, I understand we're not going to be perfect on this earth, but when we're maturing, when we're growing in the Lord and in his general will, and then we can go to the surrendered will and then to a very special will of God. So have you, many people, I guess I put it this way, many people are looking for the special will of God when they haven't complied with the general will of God first. And you need to just do that which is generally expected of all Christians, and the Lord will bless you in that. And then you don't know where he's going to take you from there. Many people, matter of fact, the pastor mentioned something to me that there's an awful lot of people that they want to do something special for God, but they're not doing what is generally what the Lord has told them generally. They want to be in charge of something. They want to be, you know what I mean? They want to go out in some kind of fire, in some kind, we call it comet Christians, but in a blaze of glory. But they haven't even surrendered to the general will of God. So what is it? Salvation, baptism, church membership, giving, Bible knowledge, separation, soul winning, ministering. A lot of people don't reach out with that ministering, sanctification and giving of thanks. Okay, so you're there.